Love Is, written by Keiko Demonia and read by Flower Parish. This is a Star Wars The Clone Wars fic, rated for general audiences, featuring the relationship Boyle/Waxer. This is part of the RCAU Open Skies series. Summary. Love is speaking in code. It's an inside joke. Love is coming home. Speaking in code. Waxer always enjoys it when his and Boyle's squads are assigned to joint long-range scouting. Not only do the 18 of them work well together, but he gets more time with his best friend. This recon mission has been pleasantly quiet so far. No one has so much as rolled an ankle, and Waxer certainly won't complain about that. Right now, though, he's bored. Camped on a wooded mountain slope above a supposed separatist weapons facility, their task is to carefully monitor and report back on all movements in or out. For 2 days, he and Boyle have kept all of them rotating between time spent at designated observation posts along this part of the range, tending to their concealed camp, and resting. The only problem is that nothing has happened at the facility. So far, the most significant pieces of intel they've collected are that two large Reptavians have a nest on one of the taller buildings, and that herds of fluffy, striped mammals sometimes graze in the grassy valley between the facility and their camp. From his current observation point, Waxer has a fine view of the target, but due to a thick stand of trees downslope of his position, he can't see much of the valley. That would normally be fine, except that just about everyone keeping watch east of him is talking over comms about the striped animals crossing the valley now, with a handful of calves.
"That little one is the fuzziest thing I've ever seen,"
Lark says with a smile in his voice.
"Like one of those flowers that turn into balls of fluffy seeds,"
Kavo adds. Waxer huffs, maybe pouting a little behind his visor. They're not scheduled to rotate for another 30 minutes or so, and the animals will probably have moved on by then. Trying one more time to spot them through the trees with his handheld macro binoculars, he almost startles when his bucket's internal comms crackle.
"Hey,"
Boyle says, as their private officer's channel overrides the general one. "What?" Waxer asks, sounding sulkier than he intended. Boyle is one observation point east of him, and was the one who spotted the striped animals a few minutes ago.
"My macro binocs are malfunctioning, and my HUD zoom isn't cutting in without them, so I'm gonna hike back to camp and see if we have any spares. We'll need to have everyone to my west rotate one position to fill in the gap."
Waxer perks up. "Oh, yeah, okay. Who's scheduled to take the westernmost spot next?"
"Arch, I think,"
Boyle replies. Waving a hand that only he can see, Waxer grins. "Ah, well, he won't complain about getting out of camp duties early, then." Snorting, Boyle says,
"No, but Vigo might get pissy about being woken early for them."
"Vigo is always a little pissy, though," Waxer counters playfully. "No one'll even notice." Boyle chuckles, closing their channel, and his voice cuts through the chit-chat on the general frequency. His announcement that some of them are rotating early is met with some good-natured groans, but no one questions the order, and they all move quickly to their next post. Waxer takes Boyle's previous position, while Boyle heads back to camp. By the time the striped herd animals move on, about 25 minutes later, Waxer's cheeks hurt from smiling at the calves' adorable antics. It's not until a few hours after that, when he rotates back to camp for some rest and Boyle is already asleep, that Waxer happens to mention the faulty macro binoculars to Stryker. As their unofficial quartermaster on joint missions, Stryker would be the one to make note of damaged or lost equipment, and he would know if they have any spares. He just frowns, though, shaking his head. "No, sir. Sergeant Boyle didn't mention anything about macro binocs to me, and I just checked our inventory list a while ago. There aren't any notes from him on it." Waxer blinks. With how much Boyle appreciates logistics and organization, he would never take something from their supplies without noting it down. "Oh, okay," Waxer says distractedly. "I guess he must have, got them working on his way back to camp then." After washing up a little and brushing his teeth, he crawls into his and Boyle's shared officer's tent and strips off his kit. It's late afternoon, and the weather is pleasantly warm, so Boyle's sleeping bag is open, and he's sprawled on his back in a pair of shorts. He cracks an eye open, grunting vaguely when Waxer settles down next to him. Snuggling up on his right side, Waxer murmurs, "Your binocs weren't malfunctioning, were they?" Boyle closes his eyes again, frowning faintly. "Sleepin'," he mumbles, though he still seems perfectly capable of lifting his arm so Waxer can wiggle closer. Smiling fondly, Waxer lays his head on Boyle's shoulder. "Thank you." With another drowsy grunt, Boyle shakes his head a little. "I got to watch the little striped babies playing for almost half an hour," Waxer tells him. The corner of Boyle's mouth quirks. "It's good," he breathes, slipping back into sleep. Still smiling, Waxer closes his eyes and wonders for the thousandth time how he got so lucky, how he ended up with the best friend anyone could ever ask for. An inside joke. "Ugh," Boyle groans, sounding vaguely nauseated as he sags back against the bulkhead. Sitting beside him in his new bunk, Waxer grins. "Eat too many candies?" he asks. The other brothers in the room chuckle. With Boyle's promotion to lieutenant, he's finally moved his gear into Ghost's lieutenant quarters with Waxer, Tico, Trapper, Cries, and Maps. Though, like Boyle did when he was still a sergeant, Wobble often bunks in here as well. And about an hour ago, Waxer gave Boyle the welcome gift of sorts that he's been teasing Boyle with for the past week, a very large stash of sweets. Having accumulated a lot of little favors from brothers all over the 212th, Waxer called in most of them to put together the collection of contraband candies. He doesn't regret using up his favors, though. When Waxer dumped the pile of mismatched candies onto the mattress in front of Boyle, the look on his face was worth just about anything. Grimacing at Waxer, Boyle mutters, "Yeah, but they're so good, I can't stop." He was nice enough to begrudgingly give the others a couple candies each, but even after that, and all the sweets Boyle himself has eaten so far, the pile is still pretty impressive. "Do you need us to help you eat more?" Tico asks from his bunk, where he's reading something on a datapad. Boyle glares at him. "Or I'm sure we could hide him somewhere," Trapper teases, without looking up from the knee plate he's repairing with epoxy. "Like I'd trust you Kowakian monkey lizards," Boyle grumbles. Waxer chuckles. "Well, let me know if you want me to stop you," he says, suddenly reminded of the Ryloth campaign so many months ago, and, in particular, something Boyle said to him after they chased Numa through the deserted streets of Nabat. Smirking, Waxer adds, "I have binders if we need them." Boyle frowns at him, blinks once, then snorts. "You gave me such a dirty look for that," he complains, snickering. "I had my bucket on," Waxer points out. Still grinning crookedly, Boyle shrugs. "Didn't need to see your face to know it was all scrunched up and indignant." Waxer scoffs in mock offense while the others glance between him and Boyle, clearly puzzled. He considers telling them about it, but it seems like one of those things that's only funny if you were there. Coming home. When Waxer got word that the 212th was in full retreat and evacuating the planet, he didn't let himself panic. Yes, his platoon was scouting far from the rest of the battalion, and the four squads under his command were scattered across several clicks of hostile terrain, but he would call them all in and figure out somewhere safe to hole up until they could be extracted. That was over 3 standard cycles ago. They'd only been carrying enough gear for a fairly short recon, so Waxer had them stretch their rations as much as possible and forage what few insects, fruits, and tubers were safe for them to eat. Hydration was more of a concern on a planet where most surface water wasn't safe to drink, but on the second day, Patches found a bubbling spring on the hillside. After their medic, Muja, tested it and determined it was potable, they all refilled their water bladders. Waxer decided to let them rest near the cave, but only a couple of hours passed before they were found by a droid patrol. 3 of Waxer's men were injured in the fighting retreat, and he sprained his left wrist. But they took out the patrol and moved on as quickly as they could. Two Lardies did eventually arrive to pick them up, though, and they're finally back on the vigilance with everyone else. After sending most of his platoon to go eat, wash up, and get some rest, Waxer accompanied the injured to medbay, where Vector took care of his wrist. Now, having just finished his report to Cody, he's walking the familiar route to Ghost Company's lieutenant quarters. When Boyle abruptly appears in front of him, Waxer looks around, blinking. He's almost reached their room, but he doesn't remember getting here. "What?" Waxer asks. Boyle was saying something he didn't catch. Boyle's frown deepens. "When was the last time you slept?" Staring into the middle distance, Waxer squints. He didn't get a chance to sleep when they stopped at the spring, and after that, they couldn't risk staying in one place for more than a few hours. He must have napped at some point, but he can't seem to remember. "Okay," Boyle huffs. "That answers my question." Waxer blinks again, noting that the two Bridgies who just walked past him are much farther down the corridor now. Time keeps moving in fits and starts after that. Waxer is in the officer's locker room with Boyle, who is taking off his armor for him. Then, the unpleasant vibration of a sonic shower tickles his nose hairs, and he frowns. He thinks he says that it's turned up too high, but he's not sure. Either way, Boyle steps around him to adjust the intensity. His legs feel wobbly, and when he sits, it's on a bunk mattress. A bottom bunk. Boyle's bunk. Waxer is wearing clean shorts, and Boyle is saying something as he puts a sit pack in Waxer's uninjured right hand. The water is really good, but the sit pack disappears when he isn't looking, and Boyle's hands are on him, gently maneuvering him under the blankets. They smell like brother, and they smell like Boyle specifically. Waxer feels himself going limp, and he can't keep his eyes open, but Boyle is with him, so it's okay if he rests now. The fine texture of Boyle's blacks is nice on Waxer's bare skin, and his hands are warm on Waxer's back. Boyle huffs something about the stubble on Waxer's head scratching his chin, and Waxer chuckles, or he tries to anyway. Boyle murmurs. His chest rises and falls against Waxer's cheek. "I'm glad you're back." Waxer nods, humming. He's glad to be back, too. Glad to be wherever Boyle is. The end. Honeybee, I can't imagine how my life would be if all your gravity did not hit me. Oh, don't you see?